Your mindset dictates how you interact with the world and the results that you get. Do you have a scarcity mindset? Are you grateful? Are you grateful for what you have? Do you give freely? Do you love freely? Do you share freely? Or do you try to protect and hunker down? Like, what you believe will happen to you is going to happen to you. And what you believe you can achieve, that's going to happen to you too.
Welcome to another episode of Success for the Athletic-Minded Man. Real talk on harnessing your athletic drive for clarity, consistency, and focus in business and life. This is your host, Jim Harshaw Jr., and today I'm bringing you a solo episode. I'm talking about a concept that I call a cognitive conversion. This is something that I teach my clients. I walk them through this in an exercise that is less about tactics sort of externally and more about what's going on inside your mind, the limiting beliefs that you don't even see that are holding you back. And actually, what do you do about those, right? We know we have them. Like, every single one of us has them. It's just part of the human condition. And they are the invisible force holding us back. If you feel like, man, I'm working hard, but why do I see other people going faster and further than me? Why do I see people advancing further in their career or getting more done than I feel like I'm getting done? Why are those people further ahead? And yet, you know, I'm working hard. I'm just as qualified or more qualified, and I have better network or degrees or whatever it might be. Like, what can you do to unlock your potential? Well, that's what this episode is all about. I actually went back into my archives and I found my most consumed episode ever. Well over 500 episodes. A normal episode is about 60-70%. That's considered good when people, you know, on average, about 70% of it is listened to by the audience. If you hit the 80% mark, then that's like it's very high. And this is for all podcasts sort of in general. This episode is the highest retention episode ever, 156%, meaning people who listen to the whole thing. On average, a bunch of people listen to it 1.5 times, or on average, well over once. So a lot of people listen to it twice, sometimes the whole way through. So 156% average average retention. So this is a really good episode. I went back and I listened to it. There's some really, really good stuff here that is going to change how you think about how you think. And that changes everything. All right, here we go. My replay of my episode titled The Power of Cognitive Conversions, How to Change Limiting Beliefs into Liberating Beliefs. Here we go. All right, so what I want to talk to you about today is a cognitive conversion. What is a cognitive conversion? A cognitive conversion is how you change your belief, your mindset around a certain thing, certain limiting belief in your life. You know, we all have limiting beliefs. Sometimes we know exactly what they are. You know, I can't do that. I can't make $1 million. I can't do that job. I can't start that business. I can't have a healthy relationship. I can't lose weight, whatever it is, right? We have that limiting belief. A lot of times we don't even know what that limiting belief is. It's deeper down inside of us. But the idea of having a cognitive conversion is freeing ourselves from that limiting belief, because there are lesser people than you who have achieved what you want to achieve. There are lesser people than you. They have less skill, less talent, less drive, less work ethic, fewer connections, less money, less education, et cetera, that have achieved it. So why not you? I work with a lot of clients who feel like, you know, why, you know, who am I to achieve X? And I hear that a lot. And this is from successful people. I mean, I'm talking about people who haven't achieved other things. I'm talking about people who are amazing people, and they still have this limiting belief. So it's a normal thing. And so first of all, I mean, one of my missions of this podcast really is to normalize that thought. It's like, hey, it's okay if you feel that way and think that way. It's normal. But if you want to actually achieve that thing, you have to crack it. You have to break it. You have to get through that and get to the other side. And the way you do that is through a cognitive conversion. It's something that I work with a lot of my clients on, is having this change in belief, this change in mindset, so you can actually break free of whatever that limiting belief is and actually create the amazing life that you want in whatever area of your life that might be. And I think about my life as a wrestler. When I was competing, I had a limiting belief. In high school, I always thought success was for somebody else. I worked my butt off, man. I was I mean, I wrestled year round. I competed year round. I wrestled 100, probably easily 100, over 100 matches a year, over 100 matches a year. I wrestled all summer long. I did freestyle, Greco-Roman. I did everything. I was constantly training, constantly finding practices to go to. And this is, you know, this is the early 90s. This is before sort of sports got to the level they are today in terms of high school sports. I don't know if wrestling in Western Pennsylvania, I think, might have just been a little bit ahead of its time as far as that goes, just sort of in terms of the maturity of the sport in that area. But man, it was a year-round thing. You know, I took maybe the end of July and some of August off. But I mean, gosh, August, we were already starting up with tournaments, preseason stuff. So, but I always believed that deep down that I wasn't good enough. And I was good enough to be kind of good. You know, I believe that I was like kind of good and above average. But I always sort of had this deep down thought that a state championship, something like that, or a national championship was for other people, right? I might say out loud that I could do it, but really deep down, I didn't really believe it, right? And there may be something in your life that you know, like logically, that it's possible for you. Like I knew logically Jim Harshaw could win the state championship, but emotionally, I didn't believe it. And the cognitive conversion is connecting the logic to the emotion, connecting the logic, what you know is actually possible, what you can say to somebody else and think logically out loud or on paper, but actually connecting the emotion to that, how you feel, so you actually, and whenever you do that, these things can then actually become true. Quick interruption. If you like what you're hearing here and you want to learn how you can implement this into your life, just go to jimharshawjr.com/apply to see how you can get a free one-on-one coaching session with me. That's jimharshawjr.com/apply. Now back to the show. So, you know, sports is just the easiest analogy for me to use. And in this analogy that I use recently is, you know, pick your sport, but I'm going to pick wrestling just because that's kind of my world. But swimming, track, football, baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter, right? It's you know, let's pick two pitchers. You put two pitchers on the mound. You take one pitcher, you put them on the mound, right? And what if, you know, assume you could clone this pitcher, and one of them knows logically that he can strike out a batter, and he believes that emotionally as well. And then you have the clone who knows logically that he can strike out this batter, but emotionally he doesn't feel that way. Doesn't believe it emotionally. Which one are you going to put your money on? That's easy, you know, the first one. And so how do you get there, right? How do you do that? And so the way, you know, I experienced this as a wrestler, and I got to college and I still felt that way. You know, so back up in high school, I failed. I failed miserably. I would say out loud that I could win the state championship, but I really didn't believe it. Not sure my coaches actually believed it too. And I think I read their body language quite a bit. So my fault for believing in that. For letting somebody else influence me. But, you know, not only did I not win the state championship, I didn't even place. I didn't even get on the podium in high school. Got to college and looked around, and all these guys were state champions and state finalists and multiple-time state champions and multiple-time state place winners. And here's me. I didn't do anything. And so my belief led me to still work really hard. I was the hardest worker on the team. I was voted the hardest worker on the team 3 straight years, my sophomore, junior, and senior years in college. But all along, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that I was good enough to win these big time matches. And I didn't. I never won the big time matches until I had this cognitive conversion. And what happened was I started working with a sports psychologist my senior year, Dr. Tom Perrin. And he's a wizard. He got inside my head and he helped me have this, he helped me connect the emotion and the logic. And actually, he helped me sort of separate the negative emotion from the actual action of wrestling a match. And I did that. I started writing in my journal. I had a mantra that I would repeat before I stepped on the mat. I had an audio that I listened to. I had this this positive mindset audio that actually, coincidentally, my chiropractor, over the summers back at home in Pennsylvania, when I was living in Charlottesville at UVA, but this guy back home recorded me this audio. It was on a cassette tape for those of us who remember the cassette tapes. And I would listen to that, right? And all of these things combined, and then surround, I had a coach who started brainwashing me and telling me I could win the national championship. And so he believed in me. So I was surrounding myself with somebody who believed in me at a high, high level, started choosing which teammates to hang out with. And man, it helped me break through. All these things combined to help me have this cognitive conversion where it's not that Jim can't win this anymore. Logically, I knew I could,
But emotionally, I started not just believing, but actually knowing that I could. It was really comfortable feeling that way. And it actually took the pressure off of me because I just knew that I was that good. And it was okay whether I won or lost. It didn't really matter because it was like, I am that good. And that's okay. I work really hard. And it's not really about the outcome. It's about the process. It's about who I become and who I am through this process of training. And that cognitive conversion allowed me is the way I phrase that, allowed me to actually maximize my potential. And I finally got on the podium, finally became an All-American and reached my goal. I should actually say I failed to reach my goal. My goal is to be a national champion, but set your goals high. You know, if aim for the moon, if you miss, you're among the stars. And that's where I ended up. And it reminds me of a story. There's this sort of self-belief, right? This belief that we allow ourselves to have reminds me of the story of there's a man who owned a sandwich shop, and it was this thriving sandwich shop. And every day for lunch, there'd be a line out the door and people would just come, loyal customers, and just a thriving business, right? A thriving sandwich shop. And he gave away free pickles and he gave away free chips and he had large servings and people would come and flock to this place and they would always be there. And he had just this loyal customer base. And one day, this man is an older gentleman. He had a grown son who lived several states away. And the son came to visit dad, and he came to the sandwich shop and he said, "Gosh, dad, you are giving away so much. You're giving away these chips, you're giving away the pickles. And don't you know that the economy out there is really bad right now? And you're giving away all this stuff. You really need to cut back because the economy is so bad." And the dad said, "Gosh, okay, I didn't realize that. Okay, I will." The son's in business. He's a businessman. He said, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to start cutting back." And you know what? He started cutting back and not giving away the free pickles anymore, not giving away the free chips, cutting back on the large servings. And lo and behold, the customer base started shrinking, started having smaller lines. And eventually, the sandwich shop was empty. And he called his son. He said, "Gosh, son, you know what? You're right. The economy really is bad out there. It's happening to me too, just like it is everybody else." Right? So you hear this story, you're like, it's a mindset. It's a belief. It's an approach to the world. And your mindset dictates how you interact with the world and the results that you get. Do you have a scarcity mindset? Do you have like the man with the sandwich shop? He didn't have that scarcity mindset. And he allowed somebody to influence him. And he has this scarcity mindset and he starts cutting back. And what happens? That scarcity mindset shows up in his life. And so what is your mindset? Are you grateful? Are you grateful for what you have? Do you give freely? Do you love freely? Do you share freely? Or do you try to protect and hunker down? And you know what you believe, like what you believe will happen to you is going to happen to you. And what you believe you can achieve, that's going to happen to you too. And there's a study, you know, you may have heard of the Pygmalion effect or the Rosenthal, it's also called the Rosenthal effect. In 1964, this Harvard professor, Robert Rosenthal, conducted a study. He did this study with elementary teachers, and he went into the school and he told the teachers, "Hey, I'm going to conduct this test of your elementary school children. And this test will determine which of your students are on the verge, on the brink of exploding their IQ." And really all he did was give them a general IQ test, right? He just gave them this test, put a different cover on it, put a different name on it, gave all the students the test, collected the test back, and didn't show the teachers the results, but he picked students' names at random, and he told the teachers, "These are the students whose IQs are about to explode." And that's all he told them. And he followed these students. Now, again, he picked these students' names at random. This test had nothing to do with what the potential of these students. And he picked the students' names at random, told the teachers, and he followed these students for 2 years. And the students who were picked randomly and told the teachers were told that they were going to have a higher IQ, they had a significantly increased IQ than their counterparts. And the teachers had higher expectations of them. So it was based off of just whatever somebody else thought, right? If somebody else's expectations of you dictate how successful you can become, how smart, quote unquote, smart you can become, somebody else's. Think about how powerful your own beliefs in yourself can affect you, right? If somebody else's, you know, this teacher or gosh, this researcher telling the teacher And then the teacher making this assumption of the students and having these expectations of certain students, if those expectations of somebody else can dictate the success of those children, if the son of the man who owned the sandwich shop, if he can influence his father like that and to start cutting back, think about your own beliefs of yourself and how those affect you, how those affect how you interact with the world and the beliefs of what's possible for you. This is, you know, we can prove that performance can be influenced by what others think. So how much can it be affected by what you think, by what you think of yourself? Now, what you think is all based on your experience, right? So you have these experiences as you go through life, some as a child, and as you grow up, now you have these experiences as an adult, and, you know, all of those experiences and the results sort of shape you. And what people tell you, they shape you. The media you surround yourself with, those shape you. The coaching that you have in your life, or lack thereof, it shapes you. The journaling that you do, the prayer that you do, the study that you do, the books that you read, etc. These all shape you. And so if you want to have a cognitive conversion, you need to change your thinking. And this is mostly around your environment of excellence. In your environment of excellence, and this is the way that I help people remember what the components are in your environment that dictate how you interact with the world and the success that you achieve in anything. Again, relationships and your faith and your diet and your nutrition and your business and any area of your how you interact with your kids, etc. It's all dictated by this environment of excellence. And here's how you remember it. MAPS, maps, like reading a map. MAPS. M stands for media. Media is, you know, I think back on my wrestling career and I didn't watch a whole lot of TV, but when I did, I was oftentimes watching breaking down film of myself. I was watching film of my opponents. I was watching film of the national championships, of the world championships. I controlled the media, right? The audio media. I listened to that positive mindset audio that my chiropractor made for me. I listened to that at night before I went to bed, right? This is the media that I allowed into my life. Control that media. Are you allowing the media out there to tell you that you need to have a fancier car, you need to have a bigger house, your children need to be better looking, you need to, all the, like, are you allowing that to influence you? Or are you allowing your own logic to influence you? What's really actually important to you, not what society is trying to shove down your throat or what's parked in your neighbor's driveway. So that's M these four letters here, the maps and in the acronym here. And A is for area. So this is your physical space. When I was competing, I had, you know, posters on my wall of the best wrestlers in the world, of John Smith, the one of Alexander Karelin, he's an Olympic gold medalist, et cetera, from Russia, and just all these guys, right? This was around my room. I had my goals written down and posted in places where I could see them. Didn't have a cell phone back then, but now on my cell phone, I actually, on my screensaver, I have different things posted on there, because I'm going to see that. It's part of my environment, part of my physical space, the area around me that allows me to see positive messages, right? So that's your area, your physical space. Is it optimized to allow yourself to have this cognitive conversion, to change your beliefs, to change your mindset, to connect the logic that you know is possible because lesser people have achieved what you want, and connect that to the emotion, the actual belief that you can have? I know that, you know, I interviewed Helen Maroulis recently, Olympic gold medalist wrestler. And she, I was in a little bit of a mental slump going into there, thinking like, I can't, you know, this little bit of mindset of like, I can't do this. Or, you know, I lost out on a couple opportunities at that point. And I was thinking, that interview, when she told me that she was walking down the street, bawling in tears, thinking, I can't do this. And she was losing to a bunch of wrestlers in her own weight class when she was at this international training camp. And how she couldn't make weight and struggling. This is a month before she wins the Olympic gold medal and beats the most decorated wrestler in the history of the sport. And it just reminded me, like, oh yeah, I can do this, right? Suck it up, Jim. You can do this. And there's these great motivational videos. If you go to YouTube and just type in motivation, there's like hundreds of these things. And some, I don't know who does it, but these different YouTube channels just put together all these different motivational clips, audio clips. And you can just play and listen to it. And man, I just do that while I'm like packing my lunches or packing kids' lunches or whatever the case might be. And it's just like, man, it just reminds me, like, all these successful people, athletes and performers and business people, et cetera, like, they've gone through the same stuff, the same doubt, you know, and the same struggles and the same challenges, usually far greater. Anyway, this is this area. This is part of your environment, right? That would actually be the media. But How do you remind yourself continually that what you want is possible? And this is just part of your journey, this challenge, this struggle. It's normal. It's part of your journey. Next letter in the acronym is P. And this is the people in your life. Like, who are the people that you choose to surround yourself with? And there are positive and negative people on my wrestling team, you know, and there are positive and negative people in my life now. And it's like, how do you spend more time with the positive people and less time with the negative? You don't have to cut out the negative people totally, but like, how do you just kind of turn that off a little bit or spend a little less time with them or a little more time with the positive people? You know who those people are, right? Surround yourself with people who are like-minded or maybe not even like-minded. People who, you don't want to surround yourself with people who have the same limiting beliefs as you. You want to spend time with the people who have broken those limiting beliefs. Those rub off. Osmosis. And you just start living and thinking and acting that way, right? That's how those limiting beliefs got developed, because you were probably raised around that. So find other people. And then last but not least is speech. This is the self-talk and out loud talk. This is the words that you use. You know, when I was competing, I was writing in a journal, you know, these are the words that I was writing. And I had a mantra. I would say things out loud before my matches, you know, and I would say things, you know, before I go to sleep. I had these mantras that I would repeat, just trying to, you know, have this conversion of my the way I thought about this cognitive conversion. I didn't know what it was at the time. I didn't call it that at the time, but that's what it was. But this is this positive self-talk, and you've got to control it. You've got to identify it. It's going on right now. Right now, as I'm saying this, there's self-talk going on right now in your mind. You're saying, this guy's full of crap, or yeah, this guy's on to something, or whatever. Or you're thinking, I'm hungry for lunch. Where's the next place to get something to eat? But this is going on. So you have to take this voice and bring it above the surface. And the one way to do that is through journaling. Another one's through hiring a coach, different, you know, getting into a mastermind group or talking with accountability partners. But that's how you do it. That's how you harness this voice, this message that's being told to you right now, and actually convert it is through these different methods. And so that's it. MAPS. That's the MAPS. But now, how do you have this cognitive conversion, right? I'm going to give you tactics, the specific tactics, the things that you need, the ingredients, the step-by-step method for having a cognitive conversion. And here's what you got to work on. Number one is that environment of excellence. Okay, so I talked about that, the MAPS, the media, the area, the people, and the speech, right? And number two is journaling. Okay, taking this voice that's inside your head and bringing it up above the surface so you can evaluate it, right? Taking these thoughts that are swirling around in your head right now and just starting put pen to paper or put fingers to keyboard, whatever it is, and just start unloading them. And once you see them on paper or on the screen, you'll be able to start sorting things out. Promise. Just trust me on this one. One thing I encourage people to do is to do this at least once a week around this limiting belief. All right. So journaling around this, specifically around this topic. What is my limiting belief? What is holding me back? That's a great question to ask yourself. What is holding me back? You can do it right now. Hit pause on this. You're on the treadmill, you're working out, you're driving, you're on a commute, whatever the case might be. Hit pause and go, what is holding me back? Ask yourself that. What is holding me back? And answer it. Pretend somebody's sitting next to you in the seat and says, so what's holding you back? And you have to answer that. And hint, hint, it's not anybody else. It's not your situation. It's you. You. And however once you know that and understand that, that empowers you. Now you can make the change. Right? Because again, lesser people have done so. So why not you? That's the logic. You've got to connect the emotion. The emotion is connected by controlling your environment of excellence, which I already talked about. The second one is now journaling. The third one, out of four, the third one is getting a coach, hiring a coach. Doesn't have to be me. That's what I do with people. But get somebody to talk to. Get somebody who's fully invested in you and is willing to listen. Somebody who's willing to ask you the hard questions. Somebody who's willing to invest deeply into your thoughts, into your life, into the things that you want, right? I had those people in my life before when I was competing, and I have those people in my life now. The stakes are way higher. Why wouldn't I, right? The stakes then were a national championship, being an All-American, a state championship. Now it's like my family, my kids, my marriage, my relationships, my health, my well-being, my livelihood, my goals, hopes, dreams, everything, right? That's what's at stake. So why the heck wouldn't you have a coach? Get somebody who's not you to help you get outside of your own head. Right now, you're in your head. You're in your own head. You can't have the perspective somebody else can. So find ways to get out of your own head. Hiring a coach is a great way to do this. And fourth and finally is a process called cognitive restructuring. So cognitive restructuring is a part of having a cognitive conversion. Okay, so cognitive restructuring is simply this, is identifying this limiting belief, then asking yourself or journaling about this or having a coach ask you this, what is some objective proof that this is true? Okay, maybe it's, you know, I can't make $1 million a year. Well, okay, what is some objective proof that this is true? Well, right now I make $50,000 a year or whatever the case might be for you. You go, okay, that's true. Well, I've never made more than X amount of dollars per year. Here's another one. I don't know how to make. I don't know. I'm not in a profession where I can do that, if that happens to be your goal. So, okay, that's some evidence that this is true. What is some objective evidence that this is false? Well, there's other people who have done it. Well, I haven't even tried this idea that I have because I'm scared to try it, right? What are some other objective evidence that this limiting belief is wrong? Once you identify those things, then the next step is asking yourself, okay, what is a more objective, balanced view of this, right? Can't make $1 million. You know, identify what's true, you know, what may be, why that may be true and why that may be false. And now let's go, okay, what's a more balanced view of this? Well, making $1 million a year is going to be really hard, but it's possible. And here's how I can do it. And then the final step of this is setting 3 action items. What are the 3 action items you can take to actually start moving down that path? So I hope all this makes sense. This is a cognitive convert. These are the specific steps you take to having a cognitive conversion. Now, once you have this conversion, is it that day where you lose 30 pounds, make $1 million, fix your relationship, find the perfect mate, whatever? No. Now is when those things, the universe starts organizing in your favor to get these things in alignment for you. Now you start seeing opportunities where you once saw an obstacle. You wonder why, how these people become, you know, successful. Again, I'm not defining success as money or fame or getting on TV. That's not what I'm saying. Success is however you define it, whatever it is that you want. But you wonder how people get there. It's a belief. And I'll be honest, yeah, some people, they have an unfair advantage because they just were raised by parents or a family or in an area or whatever, in an environment where this just kind of was built into them. Yeah, sure. Tough. So you weren't. Big deal. Get over it. You got to move on. You got to figure it out yourself now. Again, lesser people have. Why not you? Now, why me? Or why, you know, who am I to achieve this? Bull crap. Why not me? Why not you? So this is how you go through that process of creating this cognitive conversion. I hope you take action on this. I hope you don't sit on this. Hit the pause button, or when you're done listening to this, maybe grab a journal, pick up your phone, do a voice dictation, a voice memo, whatever it is. Get some thoughts about this out into the real world, out of your head and out into the real world, or take action. Call somebody who can be an accountability partner. Call me. Sign up for a call with me, jimharshawjr.com/apply. And you can sign up for a call with me. At the very least, go to jimharshawjr.com/action and get the action plan from this. You can get the cliff notes from this episode, the PDF. It's going to be a 1 or 2 page PDF outlining everything I just talked about here. So take action on this. And as usual, take the time to get clear on your goals and embrace failure as a stepping stone on your path to success.